you think it's too slutty if I show my elbows?
I mean, you're a huge slut, so it would be very much on par. Catherine Duffy! What a way to start the pod!
Okay.
Whoa, with the with the aggression right out of the top. Wow. Matt just out here slut-shaming women. No, we can cut that if you want.
No, we can't. It's typical you. The people need to know.
The people need to know who I really am, which is that I'm an advocate for men. It's enough with women, and I don't like this. We're going to have to cut all this.
No, we can't. I want to jump to something really important right away.
Yeah, sure.
Because I'm a hard-hitting journalist, and actually this is my podcast now. I've taken over.
Absolutely. That was the intention.
Yeah.
I don't want this podcast. I want to be very clear.
Yeah, you
want
to get rid of
it. I'm trying to.
You're bringing people on to see who could be a host.
I'm trying to bring it on so who can take over.
Yeah, and I am leading right now.
Absolutely.
You had a TikTok scandal.
I did have a TikTok scandal. By the way, we're with Catherine Duffy. Sorry, I just need to introduce this intro. Probably the wildest intro we've done in this 6 episodes. Catherine Duffy, wonderful storyteller, comedian, extraordinaire, actor.
Yeah.
Can I say actress? We had the discussion earlier.
I think actress has some whimsy to it.
Yeah, which is fun.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, but just an incredible storytelling. We're going to talk about your show in a little bit, but have to give you that introduction.
Oh, thanks. Matt, I'm delighted to be here. Love you. Love the pod. I'm huge on podcasts right now. So
yeah, absolutely.
It's
amazing we got you.
Yeah, I know. I cannot believe you booked me.
I can't either. And it's really a testament to the craft and how well you're doing.
I feel like every other person you've had on this podcast is like very successful. And
I know where you're going with this.
Where am I going?
No, because it's like, I know you're going to probably be self-deprecating and be like, oh, everyone else is like doing so well. No, I have studs on this pod. I have people who are absolutely killing it. Every guest I've had has immense talent and is so, I don't just book nobodies for this. You think I'm just booking people off the street?
No, but I think it's courageous of you to bring me on because I think that I actually embody the ethos of the pod.
That's okay. I did not think you were going that way, but yes, that is
fair. To really have, you know, just like me and my 101 Instagram followers, like alarmingly asthmatic, deeply depressed, low point is me.
Listen, your 101 Instagram followers.
To be clear, that's just on my show page. I have more on my personal
account. Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, of course. But way more loyal fans than probably some of these people out here with 50,000 or...
That's so true. The duffel bags are...
The duffel bags.
The duffel bags. That's what I call my fans.
I wish
all three of them.
You better be including me.
Now four.
Well, there you go. Perfect. Yeah. And I'm just going to, because I do this every episode, I need to make sure we're actually recording.
You can't miss that.
I feel bad I called you a slut up top.
I want to talk about your TikTok scandal.
Okay, yeah. So that's a good transition into what one of the things we wanted to talk about.
Why don't you tell what happened?
Yes, of course. So I just got engaged. Thank you very much.
You can't lead with that. Roll back.
No, it's important. I just start every story I'm doing now with engaged. I'm engaged. I'm so used to saying
bragging.
So used to saying it on stage to thunderous applause.
Yeah, like you're not going to get any from me.
Yeah. Like,
I'm like worried about Taylor. No, I know.
I like just walk into coffee shops now and I'm like, I'm engaged. They're like, can we help you with like what you want to order for coffee? So I got engaged and you bet your ass I'm leading the story with that. But I was away. We went to upstate New York. It's beautiful. I nailed it. And I posted this video because we're big The White Lotus fans.
Of course.
Love that show. And I posted this silly TikTok about every time I go away on vacation that I feel like I'm swept up in a White Lotus episode. Now, I want to mention that I had just gotten a clean cut beard. I was looking fresh. Probably the best haircut I've gotten in years.
And this is relevant.
100%. Mm-hmm. Because I look like a very like well-kept man. Mm-hmm. And I guess the internet's not used to seeing that. So I posted this video. You know, my cadence was very fast and you know, maybe not the most masculine way of speaking. I will say that. But every comment, the first comment was girlfriend ? Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what that meant. So I immediately texted you.
You didn't know what that meant. And I knew that you weren't going to know what that meant. And we were both awake at an ungodly hour.
Yes.
And
yeah. I think it was like 3 a.m.
I saw the comments start rolling in and I go, okay, yeah, here we go.
Yeah. And it was so funny because you were very nice. I think you sent me a voice memo.
Something I love to do.
Yes. And it was so funny because halfway through the voice memo, I don't even know if you remember this, But you were like, yeah, a lot of your content is it's front facing, which is true. And you also have you don't really talk about Taylor on. Oh, actually, your most popular video is about talking about Taylor. I guess that's not true. Like, you contradicted yourself in the voice memo.
Well,
which
because that's the beauty of a voice memo.
But it was but it was very sweet because I could tell that you were looking for ways for me to not feel like emasculated by the comments or like trying to come up with a reason.
Well,
as
and here's
to why.
The thing, because it's like. It's fine to be called gay.
Oh, absolutely. And that's not what I'm saying. 100%. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This isn't the 90s.
I'm giving you the platform of course. To feel this way. But like people were wrong.
No, 100%. And it's not, I want to be very clear. I didn't feel some type of way about it. This isn't 1990 where it's like, oh, what? Bless,
we're
you know?
2007. All right, like,
exactly. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's not, you know, like I don't feel any sort of way about it. But there was one comment, which we said was interesting, which is that a lot of people do talk about like toxic masculinity. Mm-hmm. And I'm someone who I like to think or at least try to not be toxically masculine.
And you succeed.
And I appreciate that very much. Yeah, and yeah. Like here it was just like out in the open. People were like, well, he must be gay. Like, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And but I think in my mind, because the TikTok, the gay rumors, you know,
the
started at about 3 a.m.
Absolutely.
And then cut to noon and you're getting engaged.
To a woman.
And I like to think that your team is so fast that they found you a woman as fast as possible for you to get engaged to dispel all of the rumors.
I want to be very clear. I was single the 12 hours before I got engaged.
Right.
And then my team was like...
Your team... Faster than tree pig.
We found this like, petite. We found this petite redhead who you're going to love, and they just hooked
you know
me up with her.
It doesn't even matter if you love her. You just have to get engaged to her.
It's like, fine. You can get divorced in a year. Yeah, doesn't matter.
We have to squash this.
We have to squash. There's too many people out there talking.
No, and that's why I'm on this podcast because your team works really
hard. Listen, my team, which is exclusive myself, and I, I had to book you just to squash those rumors, which is so funny. If you couldn't tell by that glorious introduction banter, we have been friends for, is it going on 2 years or?
It's like a little over a year, but it feels like,
is it
really? Does feel like longer.
It
yeah.
does feel like
I
longer.
Know, it's sweet.
We met in a storytelling class with the great Gabe Malika, who was on episode one.
Yeah.
You can go listen to that now.
Yeah. He booked before I did and that
booked.
Is fine.
Listen, I tried to get everyone's calendars worked out, but someone was unavailable and someone was, no, I'm just kidding. It was very nice to, I don't even know the order I reached out to first.
Oh, I'm not worried about it.
I know.
I'm here now.
Like, that's what matters.
Yeah.
And that's what
my
I should
My job is podcast now.
You're,
this is
it's
me.
It's no longer comedian. Is that the right term?
Comedian. Also, the same with actress. I feel like it has some like old world whimsy.
That's what I think
so
too.
So I don't really mind it.
No, yeah, that's, yeah.
I can see
some
how,
people, some
I
people
can
get
see
offended.
How people, well, if it's, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I won't complete a thought there, but
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But
you know how I just don't like, I don't really think men should have microphones, so the fact that I'm here is huge.
You listen, and we're gonna get back to how we met in just a second, but when you posted when I first launched this podcast and you were like me promoting a straight white man's podcast,
very
so out of pocket.
Out of, I mean no, very out of character.
Very out of character, thank
very
you.
Very out of character.
And I that meant so much to me as a man starting a
podcast.
Look,
I wanted to get booked.
Because I...
Anything to get booked. Anything for a job.
It was just
And I'm
booked.
Getting paid. I got paid a Diet Coke for this.
A Diet Coke.
I know.
In a 100% recyclable bottle.
Yeah, it's not
I
a
mention.
Can. Yeah.
It's not a can.
Did you want to talk more about how we met?
Yes.
This
we met
me
in
being
a,
the host.
Yes, exactly.
Would you like to speak?
Do you want to take over this podcast? You're more than welcome to.
I don't know.
Please.
Maybe.
I'm looking to somebody, please.
I think the fans. The fans are going to reach out.
We, hold on. I got to make sure this Diet Coke is front facing, so it's product placement. I'm always business.
Business mode.
Always
business mode.
Oh, wait, I promise we're going to get back to how we met. But this is my other favorite thing that I always think about is that we were out one night with some comedian friends, and I was talking with a comedian we didn't really know that well. And they said something that I thought was funny. And I was like, do you do that on stage? And you immediately keeled over laughing. And you were like, Matt, why are you always in business
now,
mode?
The number of times you've been like, do you do that on stage? Do you do that on stage? Do you do that on stage? And it's like, is nothing sacred?
I No. Absolutely. In this day and age, absolutely. It can't be. No.
No
if I could, I would walk around with a camera crew all day. No, I've thought about that. Because, like, isn't that where it's going? Isn't it going where you're
going
to have a drone following
well,
you around
is it
to
going
get
there?
Content?
Is it going there? But should it, you know?
No, exactly. No, I'm not saying it should. But, oh, my God, you're saying it should. No, I'm just
no.
kidding.
I'm not.
I know you're not. Not.
But if people are interested in following me around with cameras for the right price.
Listen, we'll do anything.
Talk to my team.
Talk to your team.
Yeah.
Catherine, we met at a storytelling class in Astoria, Queens with the great Gabe Malika. And I remember you, it was one of those sinister situations. I don't want to sound cheesy, but it was one of those situations where like you hear from some of the people in the class, you're kind of getting the vibe of people. And it was like you gave some notes or something in the first class and it was like, oh, I want to be friends with her.
Oh.
Like really bad. And then you.
Yeah, I come alive when I'm giving feedback.
But you do know in a very good way. She's giving me great notes. And you can book one-on-one sessions with her. Is that available? Business mode.
Business mode.
Business mode. Yeah, I'm starting your one-on-one storytelling business for coaching if you don't already do it.
Wow.
I didn't know you were going to walk out of here with a job.
Yeah,
did you?
Not only two. I'm hosting the podcast and now I'm giving one-on-ones.
Yeah. This was the most confusing episode I've ever done in my podcasting career.
This is an ad for Diet Coke and for me. Love it.
I've been snorting a lot lately, and I don't know what that's about, but I kind of like it.
Okay.
It's a good laugh. Okay. All right. No, we're going to zoom past that. But yes, and in the second class you went and you did an excerpt from your show that I've now seen live at Trixie's.
An early version.
Early version. Mm-hmm. And I was completely taken with it. It was fantastic. And there was even a musical part to it. That mm-hmm. where you sing a cappella, which I think is very hard to pull off. But not only did you pull it off, but it brought me to tears.
Aww.
In the class.
No.
And then I had to fucking go. And then you brought down the house. So that was.
And you did fine. I had notes.
You did fine.
You did fine. No, you did a lovely job. You're such a wonderful. You're out business mode. You're in host mode all the time.
Mode.
You put everybody at ease wherever you are.
That's very sweet.
Yeah.
And it only took how long till we got to our first compliment for me of the night? We hung out for 3 hours before this too. No, it wasn't 3 hours, but
I complimented your team, and that's an extension of complimenting you. Yeah. How fast they found you a beard. I so.
I am coming out this podcast. That is the point of this episode.
It's incredible. You so badly want
alley.
Stage time that you're like, I want to get.
Yes.
I want to get on those LGBTQ plus
mics. Sure, 100%. Yeah. Oh my God. I'd crush on those. So I'm trying to get on, man. I'm trying to. No, I don't know. Probably not. Maybe people hate me, but no, I don't know. Is this fine to leave in? I'm like sensitive to now. I don't want to insult anybody.
Well, I have insulted you many times.
That's true.
Yeah. So.
But I can deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But Catherine Duffy,
yeah.
It's a wonderful joy. It's a joy to know you. And now I've seen Live at Trixie's. The full show now, and it's fine. And
it's fine.
Really, you're really doing it.
You tried something there. You tried something there, and you were brave. The most gorgeous thing anyone could ever say to you. Bravery.
The first show I've seen with a wooden spoon. That is the first.
The spoon is integral.
No, the spoon. No, I do like the spoon.
I'm trying to figure out how to keep it in.
I.
Yeah, I know.
But you know what it is?
This means nothing to
this
anybody.
This means nothing to anybody.
Yeah. But
as I take a sip of Diet Coke, this means nothing to everybody. But I will say this. I got to see a little bit of it last night at a performance you did, sans spoon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I will say I did love your physicality on in the space.
Oh, yeah. I was feeling that last night.
Yeah,
thank
yeah,
you.
I did.
Good feedback.
Yeah. Good. She sounds surprised. She sounds surprised.
No, but I think that is just a matter of me incorporating movement, which I think is
sure.
something that's coming.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
As it's like rolling out.
Yeah, you can definitely see it coming alive there. And if you're wondering what our conversations off mic are like, it is exactly this, still just talking about.
It's always business
shows
mode.
It's always business mode.
Yeah.
But Catherine, we are on the Low Point podcast with Matt Penna, me being Matt Penna. And this is the first time this has happened in podcast history. I don't know what your low point is. I usually ask my guests to tell me before they come on stage. You avoided me every time I asked for you to tell me your low point. So if this doesn't blow my effing socks off with where this low point is.
Well, no, but
we're going to have to learn live together. Isn't that fun?
Well, to make podcast history is what I'm all about.
Listen, on episode 7.
I think this is.
Only took us 7 episodes. For me to find out live.
To make podcast history.
To make podcast history.
Well, how would you like to ask the question?
That's a good point. I've never...
Again,
is
a host.
Monument. You're like teaching me how to host my podcast. No, Matt. Okay, so now that the introductory banter is over, now we need to jump into the low points. We need to get our audience on.
Yeah, it's
for that.
Important to let the audience know when the segments come.
Sure. So let's remind the audience of your guest's name and mm-hmm. then the question of what is your low point. Yep. It's like, okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm thinking a PA off mic who I just take complete advantage of with coffee runs and everything like that.
Yeah.
Catherine Duffy.
Matt.
Comedian, storyteller, actress, actor, Wisconsin resident.
Not resident.
Wisconsin native.
That is true.
Green Bay Packers fan.
Yes. Oh, gosh, my outfit. For the listeners, I really thought I was going to like pull a look today. And then I was like, no, I want to do Cool Girl on podcast. And Cool Girl on podcast to me is a vintage Packers sweater.
But it is a cool sweater.
It is a cool sweater. Yeah. It is from Rusty Dusty in Ephraim, Wisconsin. Shout out.
Wow.
And it's from the 1997 Super Bowl.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Did they win that year?
They won that year.
Who was the quarterback?
Brett Favre.
I genuinely don't know.
Oh, okay. I felt like if you're wearing a I mean, the history of the Green Bay Packer quarterback is like Aaron Rodgers. Excuse me. I don't mean to curse. Can you imagine? It's me cursing about Green Bay Packers. Wisconsin.
I love that I couldn't even get through the introduction. Just to like,
sorry.
No, it's not your fault. It's my fault as a host. I couldn't keep us on track.
Yeah.
No. It's okay. It's my fault. It's not. I didn't say that to blame you.
You're fine.
Catherine Duffy, mm-hmm. comedian, actor, actress, Wisconsin native, Live at Trixie's star, producer, writer, director, recent receiver of Hair Blowout.
Yeah,
nice.
True, it happened today. And you know what?
I go right on tangent again.
We're never going to get there. Do you know who I ran into right outside Dry Bar?
I want to guess.
Okay.
Comedian.
No.
Oh.
Funny though.
Do we both know them?
It's a famous person.
Oh, it's a famous person. Yeah. I thought it was like a friend we both know.
No, I feel like
we only exclusively know.
No.
Comedians.
I had a celebrity say. I had a run-in with a celebrity.
Get out. Who?
Yeah. Lin-Manuel Miranda.
No, you didn't. Did you talk to him?
No, but we gave each other sort of a look, and it was sort of, fame is a prison. Like he was signaling that to me, and
stop.
I understood.
Two stars in Prospect Park?
No. This is we were right outside Nordstrom.
Okay. Oh, like, Nordstrom Rack.
Not Nordstrom Rack. Oh, real no. Nordstrom. That's
they're different. I thought Nordstrom Rack was the first name of the whole thing.
No, Nordstrom Rack.
We
is
will
like,
get
we
to
will
your low
get,
point.
Sorry.
We will. I'm sorry, but now you
no,
just
but
told
I
me.
No, I don't want you to. I don't want anyone to think that Lin-Manuel Miranda is going to Nordstrom Rack. He's going to Nordstrom.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's important.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
And you just both came out. Did you actually lock eyes with him?
Yeah.
Stop.
Well, because so his son was like drifting behind him and his security was trying to corral and I was sort of in the middle of it all.
Uh-huh.
And so I saw him and I was like, oh, that's it. Oh. And then we locked eyes and
fame is a prison.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
That is.
I mean.
I just imagine that moment too of that mutual understanding. It's nice that you got to. We got to the point of the podcast without even getting to your low point, which is to make us all feel a little less alone.
Yeah, no.
Which I can't believe this is the first time we did make podcast history.
Because
we got
there
to the
so
goal
soon.
Before without a low point. Mm. You basically rendered my podcast useless.
No, don't worry. There's low points aplenty.
There's low points. That's crazy. You ran into Lin.
Yeah, close personal friend.
That's, oh my God.
Yeah. He looked well. You love to see
long hair
doing
or short
well.
Hair? Does he still have short hair?
His hair was looking kind of long. It was like lustrous.
I feel like he's growing it back out.
Yeah, no, it looked great.
Obsessed with Hamilton. Lynn. But no, isn't Lynn. Lynn, friend of the pod.
Lin-Manuel Miranda, reach out. Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod. Friend of the pod. Wow.
So you almost finished.
I almost finished.
And then I interrupted
you.
Again.
I don't know. Are you going to let me get through without? No, I'm just kidding.
Maybe not.
Catherine Duffy, if people haven't already smashed their iPhones that they're listening to on Spotify against the wall, comedian, actor, actress, Wisconsin native, writer, producer, director, and star of Live at Trixie's. Is it Live at Trixie's with Catherine Duffy?
No, it's Catherine Duffy Live at Trixie's.
Catherine Duffy
I
Live at
I took a
Trixie's.
Lot of inspiration from Fiona Apple. Because she has that title of an album that's just so long. It's like When the Pawn Falls. And it's like more than that. It's like very long. It's the longest album title there is.
Interesting.
So she can do that. I can do Catherine Duffy Live at Trixie's.
Of course you can. Yeah. Yeah. I love that too.
Mm-hmm. Certified hottie.
Certified hottie.
Important.
Not my words. I'm engaged to a woman. Setting the record straight.
Setting the record straight.
My beard yeah. is at home with our fake dog that we have, Maple, who on episode four with Sarah Barnett, I wore a t-shirt of. You can go back and look it up. Always be promoting.
Always be promoting.
Business mode. We're going to get to it. Catherine Duffy, what is your low point?
Well, so I think, like I was mentioning earlier, all of these people who are so successful on the pod, you're getting someone like in the midst of it.
I love. Yeah. Oh, this is fantastic.
Yeah,
wow.
Like very much in the weeds.
I'm just going to update my...
Adjust the levels?
No. Is that yours? Yes. What? I can't believe I did this in the middle of you talking. What? I'm so sorry. I need to update my levels because I feel like I'm coming in a little bit loud.
Do we need to roll back?
No, you're good. How am I now?
You're good, but
I'm good.
Can't really hear me.
You can't hear you? Okay, so what if we do that?
Okay, silencing women.
Okay. As soon as we get to your low point, I'm like...
I love how you're like, what's your low point? And I'm like, it's right now. And you're like, actually stop.
Actually, let's stop for a minute.
We can't stop. We can't talk about it.
Okay, are you good though?
I'm good.
Sorry. Everybody.
Good with this.
Good with... You're going to walk off set.
Otherwise. Not well.
Catherine Duffy.
Yes.
And you can hear me okay?
I can hear you great. I can hear you fantastic.
I'm going to leave all this in.
You can leave it in.
You were in the midst of your low point.
Yeah, I think so. I was thinking about it. I developed my show. I spent 2 months in the Midwest, mostly in Wisconsin.
Over the summer.
Fall. But yeah, summer to some, fall to others. And I spent it doing shows in found venues and developing it, working through what it needed to be. And that was really great, but exhausting because you're doing it all by...
Sure.
I mean, your team, and I keep saying, like, my team, I need to fire my entire team because they're not living up to my expectations. And it's like, the team is me.
Right, yeah.
The team is me. But they're not doing their job.
Do you do that on stage? I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Is nothing sacred. but certainly a lot of work to be doing that, but also something that you know, what we do is, you know, you're revealing things about yourself.
Sure.
And you're piecing together stories and finding the most effective way to tell them. And I think I kind of forgot in the midst of like getting ready for that can be really draining. And it can be, once you're doing it and you're getting the reps in it. And also I think what happened with me and workshopping it and developing it in Wisconsin is that at the beginning of, I called it the Wisconsin World Tour.
I love it.
Yeah. At the beginning, it was a lot of people come. It was smaller audiences and people coming because they knew me and were interested in what I was doing. And then because I guess my team did an okay job, there started to be press and word of mouth. And so there were more people who started to come, and it was people that I didn't know. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, this thing that you really wanted to have happen, to have this show have a reach and to have momentum, all of a sudden you're including people that don't know you and maybe you're going to make judgments about who you are and what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I was on such a high from getting the show off its feet and really feeling like I was finding some rhythm with it. And then there was a show where all of the shows started selling out, and this was the first one after that was like sort of happening. Mm-hmm. And it was the one where my parents were, and I do a lot of crowd work in the show, so I'm always including people and learning people's names and figuring things out. And there was somebody, so my parents were there, but it was, I would say it was about half people that I knew or knew me, and then half complete strangers who had heard about the show from something. And there was somebody in the show who the next day they went on my personal Instagram and posted a comment underneath like a silly video that I had made promoting the show with like a really like lackluster review.
Yeah.
And it like this was like people are allowed to feel however they'd like about the show.
Sure.
But the kind of the pull of the review is like, well, all of her friends seemed to like it. And it's like, well, they weren't all my friends. And also, yeah. I feel like the point of my show is that at the end of it, you feel like a friend. And, you know, if he didn't feel like a friend, that is a failure on my part. So that's feedback, you know, that I'm
sure
fully willing to take. But I just was I was sort of alarmed that that comment like really took me out.
Yeah.
And I was sort of alarmed by how I almost was like, well, I'm not going to keep going. Like I got that comment. Yeah, I got that comment and I was like, well, it ends here. Like I had like four more shows, all had sold out. And I was like, well, I maybe shouldn't do them anymore.
Yeah, it's, well, there's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah, and also, and that's not even the low point. We're not even there yet.
I know. Oh, God. It gets worse. Here's the thing. Well, one thing I want to touch on the fact that you said, that you mentioned is, I used to be so, what's the word? I used to think it was so douchey to say that as an actor or performer, you go out, and it's like you leave everything on the stage and then you go home and you're exhausted and all that.
It's like, oh, we're fighting a war.
Right. Yeah. But I will say there is something to be said about now having been through the process. And again, I'm I'm not even comparing it to some of the other stuff, but this isn't about comparison. You are giving a piece of yourself to the audience every night that you perform these shows.
And that, and you're opening yourself up to judgment, not only how you present it, but the content of the tale.
In the most vulnerable way possible, which, and Birbiglia, who I know you and everyone that has listened to any...
I hope you're listening, Mike.
Everyone, oh, a dream. That would be a dream. But I bring him
he's
up
He's a huge fan.
He's a friend of the pod. Him and Lynn. Both friends of the pod.
Yeah. We get together all the time.
All the time.
Mm-hmm. We play golf. It's a boys club, but I'm a part of it.
It's a boy. But he talked about, too, it's like, it's not, you're not just going, living the show, and then going home. You can't, it is very difficult to separate yourself from the show. Mm-hmm. You go home, and you are sort of taking that with you. You're almost living with it, and then going back on stage because you have to perform it again, which is taxing and drains energy. So that's the first thing.
And the next time I did the show, I was like scared of the audience.
Yeah.
And I could feel it. Yeah. I could feel myself not having the courage that I had had before and being upset that I had let that get to me. Because that is just sort of like, it was just surprising.
Sure. And I think, look, the other part of this too is I've seen the show and it's, you know, I know what you mean when you say that you want people at the end of the show to be your friend and that sort of thing.
Because like we've talked about, it's like being known and knowing others.
Right.
That's like the crux of the show.
And of course. And of course, that's not always going to connect with every person in the room. But, you know, what's funny is like having had rumors about my sexuality be out there.
Exactly. You can relate to this so deeply.
I can't believe we actually did tie it back.
We tied it back. Yeah. An Instagram comment, a TikTok comment. God,
no, but there are days where they just send you for a loop and it's inexplicable because logically you do know it is just one person. Like, and they probably don't even remember they made that comment.
I don't think he knew how Instagram works, and that's fine. Not everyone knows.
Yeah.
That's okay. But I will say, I think sorry, did you want to continue?
No. Go right ahead.
Me running the podcast into the ground. I think something, though, that... like a sort of flip side to that I should probably focus on a bit more is that I was so delighted that an audience member found out about the show in the newspaper.
Right.
Mainstream media. Yeah. Print media is not dead. And they came and I talked to them afterwards and sort of realized this was the perfect show for them.
And that's right.
Like, no, and shout out to Woodzik. Like,
is that the name?
Yeah, that's their name.
Oh wow!
And they just—that's
so sweet.
I kind of constantly, if ever I like think about that that Instagram comment, which happens more than it should. Let's get me help. No. But I do kind of come back to the idea of like, well, your job is not to please every person who comes and sees the show. Your job is to make sure that your show finds the people.
Yeah,
who want to see it,
and that requires people seeing it who aren't going to connect with it,
but everyone should.
Everyone.
Do you love how I'm using the camera?
No,
it's
I do.
My acting training.
Before we sat down, Catherine did instruct me that she needs to be facing the camera instead.
Well, I just didn't.
Probably
wanna,
the
didn't
most diva podcast guest I've ever had in the history of this podcast, in the illustrious history of this podcast. I was taught how to. Get the proper angles and stuff.
Well, we'll see. We'll see in the recording. I haven't seen the product yet.
But that, so that, that was one of the things I wanted to touch on. But to that point too, it's like, you know, I feel a similar way, and like we do shows here at the bookstore in Hoboken, and a lot of times I'll send out newsletters and stuff to emails and people who've gotten tickets in the past. And, you know, a lot of times I'll send out these emails and I'll just get, please stop sending me this, please stop doing whatever, please. But there was one woman that came here from Jersey City, and she goes, I will never forget this. She came to the show and she said, thank you so much for sending out this newsletter this morning. My husband passed away 8 years ago, and I got that email, and it made me get out of the house. I treated myself to lunch. I went to, I did got my hair done, whatever, and I came to see this show because of that email you sent me. And I have been riding that high forever, as I think anyone that has gotten something similar should.
Yeah.
Because that, I always think about that, and you don't always hear about it is the thing. You have to remember, too, it's a lot of times people have a great time and you have no idea.
Yeah.
I've had plenty of people come to the show and say, this stinks. This is awful. What are you guys like doing?
And it was the show that I was on. And I do apologize for that. It was fine. But
yeah. You knocked over 5 bookshelves in this store that from the rage. On stage.
Yeah, people couldn't believe how horrible it was. Yeah. And that's sort of like, that's what my comedy is all about.
That's what your comedy is about, pushing those limits. And some people just can't handle
that. They don't get it.
I
don't want to be understood. I don't want to be understood. To be understood, no.
To be understood. The last thing I'll say about like negative reviews as well is, you know, it's like they are at the end of the day meaningless, especially on the internet. Just because it's a place like, I try to think about too, the person who has such a terrible time and takes the effort and the energy to the next day, then post that negative thing, 9 times out of 10, it has something going on with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, you have to remember that. Because a lot of people that are in a good place will not do that, even if they didn't like the show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's so, but it's hard. I get it.
I wish him well. I want him to come back and see it in a better state.
Which I love.
Yeah. No.
It's
yeah.
Fantastic.
Please come back.
It's like the one guy that didn't vote Derek Jeter into the Hall of Fame.
I don't know what that is.
This is more about me. At this point, to that guy. That guy
talk
is
to
just
the camera.
Talk to the camera.
It's powerful. It's powerful.
You're like coaching me on how to podcast.
Yeah.
Matt, go ahead.
Use it.
Use your gift.
Use it. Don't let it go to waste. God, no.
Come on.
No.
Use it. Put a little oomph behind it. Come on. Shimmy. I love a shimmy.
Love.
Taylor does that to me every time. She doesn't. My
Your beard.
My beard and fiance who doesn't listen to the podcast because I'm so supported. She will always do that if I'm down. She'll say, give me a shimmy.
And I'm like,
I don't want to. She's like, give me a shimmy.
And then you get there.
And then I shimmy.
And then you get there.
So that was the first part of your low point, the negative comment.
Yeah, but I think that I found a way through that and was really proud with where the show was and what I was doing. And I came back to New York and I was like, okay, New York City, baby, I'm back. Let's go. And then I was like, nope. It's just like.
What happened?
I came back. I thought, so whenever I have been like gone away to do a contract, gone away and come back, you know, there is always, and this is something I feel like I'm used to as an actor, because you're going and you're doing shows and you're like, it's constantly piecing together work, right? And so when I come back to New York, I always have a period of readjustment. And I thought, oh, I'm not going to do that, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a job that is so insane that I'll just like kind of jump over that. So I booked this job that was to work at the Maker's Mark Winter Wheat Wonderland.
Say that again?
Maker's Mark Winter Wheat Wonderland.
Okay.
And I was like on the event staff for it. And it was like a 2-week long Union Square extravaganza of Maker's Mark, and it was a free event that people would come into, and I was there with all of the people who were tasting the different kinds of Maker's Mark, and I really thought that I could like outrun the transition back to the city if I just did a job that was so intense, and then I was like, and then I'll be back, and then I'll be a star.
So in other words, You already are a star.
Yeah.
That's why we booked you on this podcast.
I know.
So your intention was to come back from Wisconsin.
Uh-huh. From the Wisconsin World Tour.
From the Wisconsin World Tour.
The sold-out Wisconsin World Tour with one singular negative review.
With comedian, actor, writer, producer of Catherine Dufferin.
Certified hottie. Yeah.
Certified hottie.
Yep.
It's not that I'm forgetting that one. It's that I'm engaged.
Yeah.
Your plan was to come back from Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And to reacclimate to New York City life,
mm-hmm.
you were going to take an intense job to like get yourself back up to the pace of New York.
I don't know what I was thinking.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand your thought process here.
Exactly. Let's think about it. It was just like 12-hour days. I was like, I always know that like the first 2 weeks,
yeah.
are just sort of like when I have to nest and get used to and whatever. And I was like, well, if in those 2 weeks I just do an insane job, then we'll skip it.
Oh my God. This logic is so flawed. I don't even.
I think it's a perfect plan. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh my God. Okay. So you're in the midst of this very intense job. That's 12-hour days.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're, I'm so sorry. I'm just, okay. That's much better.
I mean, the job is not the low point. It's just, I think that the low point, now I can't hear myself.
Yeah. Oh my God. Why am I fucking with this? I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Let's figure this out. Okay. So this one is mine and I'm sorry. I think I turned down yours. Can you say something?
I'm talking.
Okay. Say something again.
Here I am.
There you are. Okay. And there I am. I'm so sorry.
Silence.
That is the last time I'm going to.
Yet again.
God. It's what I live
yet
for.
Yet again.
Okay. Now this is okay.
Matt,
I'm very sorry.
The patriarchy hurts us all.
I am so sorry. This is.
Anyway,
go ahead.
That job, love and light to all the people that I worked with on that job.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. I think I'm still in the midst of it. I'm trying to like claw my way out of it because I think what happened was that the development that happened in Wisconsin and the Midwest, it wasn't like the end. It was like the beginning of the middle.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
And so like to be in the midst of a huge creative climb, I just think that like I crashed out because I couldn't figure out what the next step is. And like, while I knew what the next step is, which is like to keep doing the show, to do the rewrites that I need to do, mm-hmm. to get it to the places where I want to go. But I just like, and I, again, still, it's so important that I'm on the podcast right now. Because people are seeing a breakdown happen in real time. But just I just think that like I lost the sense of what I needed to be doing, and like I do feel like I am coming out of it, and that comes from just like doing the show and
yeah
just keeping like the one foot in front of the other thing.
And yes,
but
and this is obviously this is much easier to say from the outside perspective.
Yeah,
but having been through this as well, I think part of what you're going through is the organic process of letting the show live and grow, because I did a similar thing where I wanted to run the first 20 minutes this past November, which went great. It was like exactly what I needed to hear. I have the parts sorted out. And then in the same way, I was like, okay, the next step is to run the hour.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't touch it for a month or two because I didn't want to deal with the pain that the show brings up for me.
Sure. Yeah.
So I think in a way, and I'm not saying it's the same thing for you, but at the same time, it's like, okay, now that I've been away from the show enough, I can kind of come back at it with like fresh eyes and
mm-hmm.
and a sort of a renewed vigor, I'll say. But in your case, I'm wondering too if it's something where maybe subconsciously you had all these runs and you were like, I just need a minute.
Yeah, and I think it's also the sort of holding the both things of, wow, that was really successful and I'm really proud of all that work that I did. But then also I think something that I still keep learning about what it is that we do and how it's different from being an actor is that we're in a show on opening night. I'm never showing up and it not be the performance that I want it to be, if that makes sense. Like, obviously, during a run, performances grow and you find new things and all that kind of stuff. But to put on a solo show, you have, at least I feel like what I'm doing, the way that you develop it is by doing it for an audience.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that, you learn how to build it. And so it feels like you're doing something unfinished, which then I feel like I have a lot of like trouble with, because I'm like, oh, but did they is that okay to show that to people?
Oh, that's really interesting, you know? From like an acting perspective. Yeah,
but I think that the more and more that I have thought about it and have talked to people, it's like people like to be involved in the process and like to see how people are creating things, because I think a lot of the not just theater, but a lot of content or things that we are consuming now are so polished and are sometimes so...
Oh, really?
Really?
I disagree.
You disagree?
Well, on a day-to-day basis.
I think maybe I'm thinking like theatrically. I'm thinking about
commercial
Broadway shows where a lot of times you are seen, nothing's going to go awry, perhaps.
Sure.
There's not a lot of sense of danger in it.
Sure. I think I hear what you're saying from a theatrical standpoint. I was thinking more just like day-to-day content that people like consume. And content's obviously a very general term.
To use the word content was probably not, that was a language faux pas.
Sure, sure.
On my part.
One of many.
I know. There'll be more to come. There'll be more to come.
But to your point, it's interesting because, again, like I think the disconnect is like you're coming from that acting background. Whereas like for me, I understood coming into like making a solo show from a process standpoint. I'm not even saying that like you didn't know that or like what you understand what I'm saying. Maybe.
We'll find out
in just a second.
I'll be the judge of that.
Is that I feel like for a solo show, and again, I can't really speak to plays or theatrical productions, but you took an
acting class.
I did in college. One, and I was terrible. And I think the thing with plays, the difference between like solo shows, you have to run it so much just to like find out where it lives and stuff like that. And I don't know if it's like because I guess this is an interesting question. Like, what is the difference between a solo show and a theatrical production? You know?
Oh, I mean, there's none. Like, I think people, that's a very interesting question for people to wrestle with, but it's sort of like, all of theater and performing all have different things that it's doing, and they're all using things. And I think it's always helpful to like know what's going on over there, so you can think about what you're doing. I don't know if that makes sense, but I think that like in solo work specifically, I think sometimes there's this sense of like not using other theatrical traditions, so people aren't considering like what is it that I'm wearing during the show.
Sure.
What, like, that's my costume. What, like, all these, like, little decisions that are, like, really impactful and that are always considered in a play, in a musical,
but
in a production like that.
But I think people consider that in solo shows.
Oh, they do. Yeah, they do. I'm not saying they don't. But I'm saying sometimes I think that people don't always recognize that those decisions are being put in.
Sure.
God, I can't believe we're disagreeing so much in this part of the podcast.
Oh my God.
Will we ever be friends again?
This is not how this was supposed to go.
Oh no.
Oh no. All right. So tell us about your friggin' low point. I'm like so disintereested.
Well,
and this is an interesting conversation for anyone. For anyone that's like interested in solo shows,
we are so inside baseball on this. I'm so sorry, God.
No, it's okay, because I mean, some of my favorite podcasts I loved because they were inside baseball. So I'm hoping people find this and maybe also enjoy it because of that. But
and me like, with my literal no experience. But don't you think this podcast will be huge in like 5 years?
I don't know. The goal is never for this to
no,
be
no, 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 not
oh.
that your podcast. This podcast between you and I, that people will bring up and say, "Wow, look at her then."
That is genuinely what I want.
Yeah,
that's a goal.
The goal.
That is a goal I have, where it's people early on.
I'm not talking about your podcast, that thing. I'm talking about this right now.
You're like, do you know how much I'm going to bring this up?
Yeah, I'm talking about this electricity.
That's so funny. Oh, my God.
One
thing I wanted to, because one of the things is like with working out solo shows, you do have to work them out in front of live audiences.
Yes.
Right? And I don't know if that's because they're... a lot of them are under the genre of comedy, and comedy a lot of times is working out material in front of audience that's a necessity. But like, what is that difference between like a play or something where you can rehearse without the audience? Is it that comedy element that doesn't require it?
I think it's because I've done solo shows that are like, I've done the Amish Project, where it's like a bunch of different you're playing a bunch of different characters, but I've also done a lot of plays, like, you know. And I think that the thing with the difference there is that the reason that you have to run it, I think, before it's ready with solo work is because the audience is your other character. I mean, that sounds so like to say.
But
if you're rehearsing a play and you have two characters,
sure,
there's written in the script is how both of the characters respond. That's really
interesting.
And so I think in a solo show, you're not sure how the audience is going to respond. And I think something that I've been working with in my show is like, oh, does the audience, oh, and we were even talking about this last night in your, when we were working shopping your thing. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, does the audience.
My show, that's fine.
I didn't say that your show is fine. I said, absolutely. I will not be misrepresented
there is so much beef
this
here.
Way. I know. Which is important. That's important to
it's
create
important
that.
It's important to have a collaborator
we
that you
said
also
that we
have
wanted,
beef with.
Well, we said that we wanted to create lore on this podcast, and that's what we're doing. My podcast lore is popping off, and I want to keep that going. So, but I think something that you learn and is like, does the audience need time between what you say and the next thing?
Oh, yes, we did talk about that. Yeah.
And then also
sure.
I learned, like, I had a couple that I had dogs sat for, and the man, he can't hear very well, and I say a line that got a big laugh at one of the shows, and I saw his wife lean over to him and repeat it to him because he didn't hear it, and I was like, oh, well, for Joe now, I will be repeating that line every time I say it because it's so good that the people need to hear it twice, and Joe missed it that time.
Oh,
so,
I love it.
Yeah, just shout out to Joe and Jamie who just whispered it out to him. Yeah.
We don't plug other things on this podcast, just so you're aware.
Just Lin-Manuel Miranda and Mike Birbiglia and our golf team that we have. The lore.
The lore.
Who is the fourth person who should be on that golf team? Not you.
Not me?
Not you.
What am I? Am I the caddy?
You can be the caddy if you'd like.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, it has to be you, Mike, Lynn.
Who's somebody
first name basis.
Yeah.
And
who do you think?
I was going to say, this is terrible. I always think Phoebe Bridgers is.
I was going to say we needed somebody from the music world.
Yeah. But I always think, no, it's who's from Fleabag?
Oh, Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge. I always get them mixed up.
You do?
No, but not like who they are as people, just their names, which is not a
women
stretch.
Women are interchangeable to you in a way that is alarming.
let me just go ahead and turn down her mic that way so we can. You can hear her right now. She is talking, but I'm turning it down. Okay, wait, talk again just to make sure that.
Here I am.
Beautiful.
Here
okay,
I am.
Just making sure. You want to do that again? You want to? I like him so. That's horrible.
But to continue on my low point.
Yes. We're at, you're back from New York. You're working this job. That's insane hours.
Well, but I also feel like I went through like this moment of like, oh my God, I was just like, oh, will anybody care about the show? Will anybody care about me? I was just like,
sure.
I felt like that was all January and February, and thank God we're into March because maybe I'm over that now, but mm-hmm. who knows? But I think I had a moment where sort of in thinking about the feedback that the show has gotten and the way that I was sort of like stuck on it and feeling really like poorly about myself, like, oh, will anybody choose me or care about me? And I think that I had this kind of moment where I was like, well, what do you want in the other people? Like, what is it that you want? I feel like I was so wrapped up in like what people thought about me that I wasn't even thinking about like, well, what's on the outside of that?
Sure.
You know, who are the audience members who are seeing it? Or who are the people that you're including in your life? And whose feedback and opinion are you taking into account? And are you deciding what it is that you, what your goals are and what you want to be doing with this? Because I was just like so concerned with like, oh, what is everybody else doing? And it was just sort of like a moment of like, well, eyes on your own paper.
There is a wonderful story that comes to mind. Jason Alexander, who played George Costanza on Seinfeld.
Oh, he's on the golf team too.
He is on the golf team. Of course he is. Yeah. He's our fourth.
He can't always be there, but he tries.
He tries to make it.
Yeah, he tries
but
to
he's
make
been,
it.
You know, he's doing a lot more acting, which is great.
Sorry, tell this gorgeous story.
I can already tell
it's going to be gorgeous.
It really is. Yeah. I heard him talk about one time he was having panic attacks on stage as an actor. And he didn't know how to deal with it. He was like so constantly wrapped up in himself and what, you know, how he's being perceived. I don't know if it was exactly the perception that was a problem, but he's having panic attacks.
Yeah, not great.
He went to, right, and he went to his director or somebody. I don't have the details, right? But essentially he went to a mentor for advice. And eventually the advice he got was stop thinking about yourself. This is not about you. It's about the audience. And as soon as you can kind of flip that script, and it just becomes about giving yourself to the audience.
Yeah.
And I know, again, I don't mean this in a douchey, self-absorbed
way. No, we've been so douchey this entire time. And it's like actually kind of gorgeous. Yeah. The way like that we've really just like gotten in there and been like, okay, let's be as self-indulgent as possible as solo performers. Woo!
As artists.
Ugh. You said that, not me.
I know. There is something to, like, it is about giving something to people. It's about giving part of yourself to people. And yeah, when you can just try, when you make it about them, I feel like it helps.
Oh, yeah.
Which it seems like you also came to a similar conclusion.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like when I, just rolling back in my mind to give myself feedback, what I said, like, 30 seconds ago, I think was maybe felt like a little poem that doesn't make any sense, but maybe someone will find some sense in it.
Yeah.
And if they don't, maybe they could write a song about it. I don't know. I'm here to inspire.
So is it, and I think about this through the lens of someone who's listening and working on their own personal project. Is it like, were you frustrated at yourself that you couldn't get work done because you were in this place? Yeah. I feel like that's kind of twofold in that sense where you're just kind of just.
They're just like frozen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's like self-hatred and just being like. Can you take us more to like, what are you doing during this period where, or would you even say you're out of it? Or I feel like you're.
No.
Yeah.
No. Deeply
no,
not.
No, and the reason, yes, because you did
and
say.
And that's why my job is podcast now. Book me on your podcast.
It's no longer solo show performer.
Podcast.
Well, let's talk about it because I think like.
Yeah, let's fix it now.
No, we should. We should try.
Yeah.
We should. So, like, you know, like, what's your deal? No, I'm just kidding. I, like, completely start from the top. No, I think, like, I want to know more about the day-to-day thoughts, right, that are really, like, that what's taking up space and energy?
I think what's taking up space and energy is this feeling of, too many things mm-hmm. to be sort of like keeping track of and not just attacking what it is that I can.
It's I see. So in other words, you're overwhelmed instead of taking. Okay.
Because I think like even it's just sort of like, oh, I have to fix that part and I need to write that part and I have to do that part and that and that and that and that and that and that and that. And then it's like, oh, I can't do any of that. But it's just like the starting. And you did ask if I'm out of it. And I'm starting to think of it. And I'm like, oh, well, I have now. I feel like been making the edits and doing the drafts that I need to be doing. And so it has been happening. But yeah, I feel like for the longest time. And I think what has helped is like bringing other people in to like collaborate with. Like,
totally.
I feel like we've
had a
great
discussion
about it and just like opening it up to other people. So it's just like letting people in.
There is also like I got lost.
That's okay.
I was gonna say.
That's okay. You got engaged, everyone. You got engaged. You got engaged.
Guys, I'm engaged.
You're engaged.
I'm engaged. Ah. No, but I like as far as like this is what I wanted to say, which is that we talk about are you out of it? And like I've been thinking about this idea a lot, which is that like we tend to think of ourselves right as like in or out of something. You are in one phase of your life or you are out of another.
Sure.
Right. But one thing that I've been really thinking about a lot lately, especially being engaged, is like you're going to be in different places, but you won't feel different. You are still going to feel like you. So I hear you saying that like you feel stuck and in this place, yet you're working on edits and doing whatever. I feel like part of it is like, I don't want to say white knuckling it, but just like accepting how you feel and like the place you're in and just continuing to do that work on it.
Yeah, I think what it really is and what I think I'm trying to do is trusting yourself even when you're not the best version.
Oh, like, that's really interesting.
I think that the me and who I am have gotten me through the peaks and valleys that have happened before.
Right.
And what's a little bit, I think, different in this situation is that usually I am auditioning and asking people to cast me in. There's like a lot of other people that need to be involved for me to be in a project. And with this project specifically, it is kind of just me.
Well, and this brings up another thing too, which is like, how do you typically, because I'm very big on small wins. I keep a log in my, like on the day to day.
Oh my God, you're so evolved.
No, you have to. So like, especially, but in a collaborative environment with like that, with there's other people, you're getting that validation from that. But when you're on a solo project yourself, because I'm in the same way, I work on the solo project and I'm like, I feel like it's in the same place as when I started. Yet I look at my notes and my recordings and stuff like that. I'm like, because I'm running for the first time at the end of the beginning of April.
Plug.
April 4th, 7 p.m. Be here, Symposium Bookstore.
Plug, plug.
$15.
Business mode.
$10 tickets, BYOB, business mode.
Whoa.
I know. Took $5 off for the solo show.
Okay.
But I...
Worth $10 more, by the way.
Oh, this is why she's on the pod. This is why she's booked and blessed.
Only on podcast.
Only on podcast. No, stop. So, but... Like, I feel the same way that the show was in the beginning of the place where I'm like, how am I going to do an hour? And I look at my notes and my ideas and stuff and I'm like, oh, I could fill an hour.
Yeah.
Like, in other words, like, it is there, but I don't feel different. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Yeah. Because it's, I mean, you're doing all of the work, so that's like a slow burn for you.
No, totally.
But
yeah.
I think to check in, I had a friend who saw a very, very early version of the show and came and saw the most recent version and was like, oh my gosh, completely different. And I'm like,
yeah,
it is.
Right. But it's because you're seeing those changes day to day. It doesn't look any yeah. different to you. And I've said this example on the podcast before. There was a period in my life where I lost 37 pounds and then I gained back 20. If you were to ask me on the day to day if I noticed a difference in how my body looked, I still don't.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm much different shape now than shaped is the nice way to say it than I was, you know, previously. But I don't see a difference.
Yeah.
And to that point, I think that's part of what we're getting at here, which is that I think you feel stuck because you're not seeing or you're not feeling that progress that you've made.
We solved it. Oh my
no,
God.
No, I don't
this
think
is
we've
podcast.
Solved it.
Nope. This is podcast history. We solved it.
There's no way. Uh-huh. Well, but all this to say, like, and this is also the point, not to like bring down the solving it. I don't think there is no solving it. There is only the path forward.
That's
you know?
True. That's
so
true.
It's, you know.
Everything you say on this podcast could be a motivational poster.
I am trying to be Tony Robbins. No, I don't know if, no, that's a big yikes, but that is not true. Someone other,
and
Gary
Vee.
I love Gary Vee.
And that's why the people want me to take over.
And that is why.
And that's why the duffel bags
listen,
are clamoring.
The people that produce this podcast think I got a lot of moxie.
Mm.
But the problem is that I will start off the podcast by calling you a slut. And that is not.
Is that how you're going to end too?
That's.
Call me
comedian,
a whore.
Actor, whore, harlot, charlatan. That's not even a sexual one. That's
certified hottie. You keep leaving it out. It's
I
so
have to.
Weird.
My fiance is going to leave me and then
she's
I won't have
only,
a beard.
She's only going to listen to
she's,
this podcast.
She's only going
to. She won't listen to any other ones.
The running joke is that my fiance has not listened to a single podcast yet. I'm trying to get her to rate on Apple and Spotify, which, by the way, if you're listening, please do.
Please.
But she won't. Spotify won't let her because it gives her the message, how about you try listening to the podcast for once, which was the funniest realization I've ever had.
She's supportive in other ways.
She's, oh my God, she's
yeah,
the
Taylor's
best.
Yeah, Taylor's the best.
I love Taylor so much.
Yeah, I have to say that.
You have to.
Yeah you me. Don't.
I'm already talking like we've been married for 20 years, which is like, my wife.
How did you do it?
How did
tell me all your tricks.
How did you?
You've been engaged for a week.
Oh my God. But I want to get back to.
Yeah. What do you want to, Matt, what do you want to talk
no,
about?
No, I don't, because I feel like, you know.
You want to talk more about the Winter Wheat Wonderland?
No, stop.
You want to know the mechanics of that? Shout out to Maker's Mark team.
Stop. Are you still working for them?
Maybe I should.
Maybe.
Maybe. Give
Maybe.
Me a job.
No, but I... So, like, with your being in the midst of, like, this low point of creatively,
mm-hmm.
I think there's also an element here that we're not talking about, too, which is that if you're a creative, and you have this big project that it just becomes so defining of your identity as well.
Oh, Matt, that's so true. Yeah. Yes.
And mm-hmm. that is not even, we haven't even touched on that, where it's, if you are not moving forward on it, it can create all of this.
Well, it's like, what does that say about me?
Yeah.
This is a huge thing that I have kind of prioritized and not done other things because of it.
Yeah, that's the other thing too, that you've given up on other stuff to
yeah.
do.
And
yeah,
I think, look, people love to tell me how brave that is, and I love, you know, to be a hero, but it's sort of like, well, if it doesn't succeed, or it doesn't succeed in the way that I want it to, that feels like a direct reflection of me 100%. In a way that other work, like even other creative work that I've done, is not necessarily
sure.
that way.
Sure.
So, well, I thought we solved it, and now
I'm bringing
again.
Us back. It was
it's
too
scary.
It was too, you know, I looked at the time and I was like, you know what? We need to bring it back. So I play the guest like a violin, where if it's okay, we solve it here, and then I bring them back down.
And I promise, so if I was the host, I would play them like a tuba. That's my promise.
But I so
badly need a job. It's like every place I am, I'm just like, give me a job.
I just like, I'll be the host of this podcast.
Does it pay well?
No.
Okay.
There's no, this podcast, I'm in the red.
That actually changes nothing for me. I love a job that doesn't pay well. Can't get enough.
We are comedians, and that, I mean, is there any other job that
doesn't pay well?
Did you
know, I want to drop some podcast lore.
Oh, wow. Really?
Did you know that I nannied for the Cubs during the World Series?
Yes, I knew
that. And you did know that. And then years later, I was the child wrangler for a musical about the Cubs winning the World Series.
Yes, you told that story at the Moth.
I did tell that story at the
Moth. And I was so taken by it. And you made it to the Grand Slam.
Yeah, I haven't been on the Grand Slam yet. But I was so nice that you were there the night that I won the Moth.
I was there. It was wonderful.
That's
excellent.
Yeah, podcast lore is just going off.
You know what I love is that for that night in particular, we're going to get back to the solo show, I promise.
We don't have to talk about it. We literally don't have to talk about it anymore.
Why? No.
Go
oh, my
on,
God.
Go
stop. I'm looking to camera.
Yeah, use it. Sorry, Moth.
Use the space.
Yeah.
So we're at the Moth, and it was something really, like, you know when life kind of writes itself perfectly as a script.
Sure.
You. Sure. Sorry.
It happens to me all the time.
All the time.
I'm living in a rom-com.
You. Oh, God. We are in a bookstore. Is there a man in glasses over there?
Do I work here? Dude, I love having. I've had so many rom-com jobs. I did work in a bookstore.
Stop.
And I worked in a bookstore, and I was organizing the theater.
Did you work
section.
as a magazine for a Cosmopolitan magazine for
but
as a
I'm
writer?
I'm thinking of starting a Substack, so that's close.
But I think people should be on Substack.
Yeah, they should. This is me being like, yeah, I'll do it. Sorry, the Moth.
Sorry, the Moth.
I live in a rom-com. You were there.
Yes,
I was
there
starring in the rom-com
with another friend, mm-hmm. and the perfect thing was that you went up second,
mm-hmm.
and they pull it out of a hat. It's random if you don't know. And people go up and they tell stories for 5 minutes. I think it is.
Yeah.
For you, it felt like forever. But there's
because it was so dense,
so
which
dense.
Is something that everyone says about my work.
You brought props on stage with you, which is
do not spread that rumor. Absolutely. You can say so many things about
Catherine Duffy, you heard it here first, as a prop comic. And she
look, you can call me a slut all day, but prop comic one step too far. I'm so sex positive, but props. No,
absolutely not. That is so funny.
Anyway, you're talking about the Moth. I think you're going to give me a compliment at some point. Maybe.
Who knows? God knows you need it.
I do. Gosh.
No, but you went up second.
I did.
And the order's random. And it's so funny because then, like, we had the anticipation for the rest of the night. Almost like a movie, like it's not will you go up, won't you?
Right.
We got that early on, which is that you did go up, but will she win?
And
then after every, I know, all business.
You were giving football dad. You were giving dad.
That's very
dad sweet. At sports game.
100%.
Yes.
I was.
Wanted me to win. You wanted me to win more than I wanted to win.
Like more, like most football dads, this was about me.
This was about me. Yeah.
Winning. This is the Moth.
Yeah. The most important thing that could exist is the Moth.
And I remember
Story Slam.
What I loved is that they're very explicit in that it's not stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
It is storytelling.
Yes.
And I remember we're like, okay, there's one guy left and we're getting the scores and Catherine's still in first. What's going to happen? And the last guy goes up and he does stand-up. like it wasn't really storytelling. And we're like, okay, he's doing like a good job with the crowd, but will the judges notice
that it's
not storytelling?
Will they notice that this is against the rules?
Exactly.
Because
this isn't what it's about.
I tried so hard not to be funny. It was so hard.
Oh, God.
Still managed a few laughs.
Those props came through.
Yeah.
And I remember we got the scores, and it was like the first one was like fine. And it was like the next one was like a little lower than normal. And we were like, bated breath. And the last score, significant drop. And we were like, we were going nuts because she won.
She won.
Excellent. It was amazing. It was such a joy to get you to hear that story.
That, and also that was that, I feel like that was a small win. That
right,
yeah,
but
that was a small win.
And going,
but
yeah,
like a big win, obviously, because you were there and you needed it. But I think you needed it for you. But yeah, it's remembering to just keep doing what you're doing in whatever way you can.
Yes. And like, yeah, you know, it's so important, especially like with the solo work, because you know, like, I just think there's an expectation, like, with all the work in any sort of creative endeavor, where the show is at and that sort of thing. Like, I think part of the expectation is, like, I don't know, at least for me, it's like when you get to that other side, the quote unquote other side. Again, I feel like we're talking about, like, putting up barriers that really don't exist.
And it's true. This is all fake, but very real at the same time.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yes, but it's more like, it's not necessarily another zone, right? It's almost like just an extended version of yourself, where it's like we have that expectation where it's like, okay, I'm going to feel X when the show gets in this place.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm not there. But it's, again, I bring it back to being in that other zone versus sort of just an extension of yourself. And I know, like, logically that doesn't make sense, but just in terms of, like, feeling and that sort of thing, it makes sense to me. And really, that's the point of a podcast, is for me to have
the point of a podcast. Did you think I had a good low point? Should I have talked more about something else?
No, what are you talking about? You're talking about, like, it's over. How are we doing on time?
I don't know. I wanted.
Oh, we're at an hour, so that's good.
I want to stay here forever. As you can see, I come alive on a podcast.
My big thing is, like,
how did I do? Your big thing is...
My big thing is, I'm just, like, ignoring you. Like, ignore the question, like, how did you do? Like, Catherine Duffy. Like, I end on there, we can do social. No, my biggest thing is, like, look, I've seen the show. I've seen it.
You're a duffel bag. Let's not get carried away.
I'm a carry-on. And let me... Sorry. It's a horrible joke. No, I'm a huge duffel bag.
Do you do that on stage?
This is the best podcast ever. This is the best episode.
Yeah, podcast
no,
history.
No, I'm just kidding.
Other episodes, you did an amazing job too. Sure.
All podcasts. All my podcast episodes are my children, and I love all of them equally.
Yeah, because parents definitely don't have favorites.
Man,
Nora.
Let me tell you.
Ben, I just is named Nora, all of my other siblings.
they're all more favorite.
They're all more favorite
than
me.
Is Nora the favorite?
Yeah, depends.
Maybe, okay. Nora's your sister, not your mom.
Yeah.
Okay.
I said my mom was the favorite.
Oh, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I don't know, maybe. Like I said, we're going for feeling, not logic on this
podcast. I'm sorry. All of your podcasts are amazing. What were you
No,
saying?
I was just going to say, it's like, we're in a very unique position here where it's like, you're currently going through it. And there is no...
And you're seeing me before the fame becomes a prison.
That's...
Like Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Like Lin.
Yeah.
What if he watches this?
But he will.
One day.
He's gonna base a musical off of this.
Look, oh, what a dream.
I know. Me and Hamilton.
Look.
You've seen the show. You're gonna talk
I've
about
seen
the show.
Show.
You've seen the show.
I've seen the show. Trying to get to an effing positive thing.
Sure, sure,
and
sure.
She won't let me.
Oh, I love. I can't wait. You know, I live for reviews.
Now I have to be positive. What if I was the guy that left that Instagram comment?
Like, that would be incredible. But he only had 24 followers, so that could never be you.
So does he really matter?
Not to the
no,
creator
of course.
Fund.
Okay, not to the creator fund on TikTok.
You've seen the show.
I've seen the show. Wooden spoon.
Like that's the takeaway.
Yeah. Sans wooden spoon. Did you do the wooden spoon in Wisconsin?
It depends on the venue.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What did you use if you didn't have the wooden spoon?
A mic.
You did use a mic.
Yeah. And I also think it's like Inside baseball. This is, but they were giving too much away. I don't want to spoil the show. Yeah.
Are you kidding? If I listened to a podcast that had a wooden spoon as the talking piece, I would go see that show. Trying to get people to come in.
Okay, fine. I think that there's a tricky thing though, because so if it's a small enough crowd, I can use a wooden spoon.
Yeah.
Because I have control of the room.
Sure, that makes sense.
And but if it's too big, you need the mic to have control of the room. But I will tell you, I did learn an important lesson. I was doing a house show and I was using the wooden spoon, and you know, I interview
sure
the crowd
yeah
using the wooden spoon.
Big laugh with the spoon.
Big laugh with the spoon.
Crowd.
It's huge.
It's good.
And one of the audience members took the spoon away from took the spoon away from me and talked longer than it's not them.
It was
you
know.
A man. I love men. I think they should all have podcasts. It's a birthright. But he took the spoon away from me.
Stop.
He took the spoon away from me. And it was like a lesson of like, oh, I can't give up the spoon. Even if like, it's also the lesson of like, you can't give up the mic. It's like, oh, I need to be in control of this. And
sure.
And
yeah.
So the spoon is powerful. And I learned it to be so powerful when it was taken away from me.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow. What an interesting.
So you've seen the show.
So I've seen the show.
Do you have any more thing to say?
No,
you're
it's just
obsessed,
no,
you're
it's
obsessed
an interesting
with a spoon.
I it.
My hair
yes.
looks good during the show too. Why
of
don't you talk about
it does.
That? Of course
I
it
just,
does.
Because it doesn't need to be talked about.
Okay.
But the spoon doesn't need to be talked about either. Well,
what would you like to talk about?
Here's my thing. Okay. We had a very, and I'm still thinking about this because this is a confession I have live on the podcast. Which is that last night I saw your performance and I asked you at the end, do you want notes? And you thought about it for a minute and then you patted me on the shoulder and said, no, I don't want notes. And then I was like, oh, okay. Then I had some thoughts written down, whatever.
Man, I'm sorry. I didn't want to waste time.
No, it's okay. Here's my note. I loved the physicality on stage without the spoon, sans spoon. So that's why I asked if you were going to use a mic or a headset on stage. And again, this isn't interesting to people, but
no, people are fat. They love this. they are obsessed with it.
They're
the
hooked.
Spoon.
But I didn't realize there was significance to the spoon. But I'm just I really enjoyed you using the space freedom sans spoon.
Okay.
So
and this is so beautiful because you know what's happening right now.
What
the audience, the fans,
yeah.
the readers. They are seeing how I respond to feedback in real time.
Which is
amazing.
Which is why, honestly, I want to be very honest, I did it in a public setting.
Yeah.
Because she will get rageful again,
no,
just like at the show and throw books at
no.
me and everything.
Look at how open I am. Look at how open.
look at my posture.
Yeah, look at how open I am to this feedback. Look at this. This is me. This is me welcoming the people into the show, to the creation of the show. No, I think that that's so very true. And it's something that I'm trying to figure out.
No, sure. And I just, yeah. But it was very funny and I felt very bad because I was like,
oh, you want to
you
give
feedback?
Me notes.
And you go, no, I'm good. It was just, no, it was very funny. No, but it was also, this is something else I realized about you is that your voicemail last night, when you call Catherine Duffy's voicemail, this is 100% true.
And you all should
you
do
call.
This.
You should also call her
Let's
cell
put
phone.
The number right here.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
Put it on at the bottom.
Put it on the bottom.
When you call her voicemail and you can't reach her, it starts by saying,
Congratulations. You've reached Catherine Duffy.
Which, the fact... See, I wish I had this level of self-confidence in the way that the fact that you reached her is an accomplishment that you, as a living human being, should be proud of.
Honestly.
I envy that to a level that is embarrassing.
Well, and also, perhaps the most insane thing is you didn't reach her. This is a voicemail.
No, but that's what I love about it is because, no, it's yeah. the voicemail. You somehow got a hold of her number.
You somehow did.
You somehow did of Catherine yeah. Duffy's phone number.
That's true.
And you reached her. And you were in a position now to leave her a message at the tone, which...
What an
can
honor.
Can you imagine?
No.
That's the.
I can't believe I give my number to anyone.
Look, as a proud holder of Catherine Duffy's phone number, which you can find now at the bottom of your screen.
My privacy is so important to me, and people don't get it.
People. Fame is a prison.
You know what? They don't get it because I'm not giving them any indication that that's true.
Catherine, we end the podcast with
Why?
Well, we don't have to. We can keep going.
No,
but I do want to talk about.
He has notes for me.
I have notes. I have notes on the pod.
I live for notes.
We're gonna do a retake of the pod, and we're gonna reshoot.
We're gonna do this whole thing over.
We're gonna do this whole thing over. We're gonna call you a slut in the beginning.
You know what? I can recreate the magic.
The manic.
Yeah. That's what's actually going on.
That I can recreate. Yeah,
that,
no problem.
I don't even need to recreate it. It's what's happening. You know, name it. Go on.
For anyone, first off, like, do you feel like this was helpful to you in your low point that you're going through it?
No. No. I feel like this was helpful to everybody else.
I'm still in it.
No, I'm still.
If anything, you're lower than when you started.
I had a horrible time. I feel like I didn't get the job of podcast host that I wanted to. I'm regularly getting.
Wait, you think this is
suggest.
Bad because you? We're not going to hire you as podcast host. I meant about like your feeling.
No, I'm looking for a job. How I'm feeling? You're always not relevant.
Always business.
Always business. Always. Business. Always. I say that about you because it's a production of me. Always business. Matt, any time spent with you is always a blast.
No, I know, but I want you to feel better about your situation. So very earnestly, do you feel better? You can be honest and say no. That's okay.
No, you know what? I do, because I think you want me to feel that way.
Exactly. So just friggin' say it. This is show business, Catherine.
Also, look, what I'm trying to get you to say. Like I said at the beginning, I think it is so revolutionary and honestly about time that you brought on someone at a low point. I'm not reflecting on it. They're just deeply in it and everybody gets to watch. You know,
so as someone who's in the midst of it, usually we end on what is your advice to someone who's going through something similar.
Wow.
But if you are currently
you think they want advice from me? Really?
I mean, I guess we can't. It's just the format of the show.
Well, and that's what you did. So it's advice for people going through it?
Yeah, or in something similar. I guess in the sense of like, if someone out there is struggling creatively and it's
sure.
and they're putting a lot on themselves in the sense of
right.
it sounds like it's draining. I mean, clearly, just based on your appearance, I can see that it's draining.
I know, my tights are insane. I'm giving Phoebe Buffay in a horrible way. I am giving Cool Girl on podcast. It's true. No, I am giving Cool Girl on podcast, but also, happening with me?
It's just, you're a hot mess. So for any of
I'm trying to fight fascism with miniskirts. Do you know this about me?
It's not working. Let me tell you. It's all, listen, if you've seen the news this morning, it's all it's all going downhill. So.
It's just like the shorter the hemline, I think the more progressive we can push the country. And that's sort of my political take at the moment.
I think that's why we're losing. Is that
my skirt isn't short enough?
No. Oh, God. No. That is not. Oh, jeez.
Okay. So that's now you're saying I'm not slutty enough?
Well,
wow.
This has been the low point.
But this is your low point right now is this podcast.
This
you're like, we can't have her
this
back.
This is mine.
I think the advice that I would give, and I think it was something that I was sort of like hovering around earlier, it's sort of advice that I would maybe just give to myself, mm-hmm. which is you have done all of the things that have brought you here, whether that's good or bad,
sure.
honestly. It's all on you. And you can trust and rely on yourself to move forward. But I think a big key that I am missing and I have been kind of collecting over the last bit is relying on your community, letting people in, letting people tell you their thoughts about the spoon, you know, just any, but honestly, letting people into your process and letting people help you and recognizing where people are skillful, where you're not, recognizing where you're, where you need help and asking for it. Mm-hmm. I think all of those things are things that would be good to recognize and know. Because I think when I think on something that was very beautiful about my time in Wisconsin and that I think is different from the way that people work out solo shows, oftentimes you're doing them in fringe and not foreign places, but places where maybe you don't have a community. Something that was very cool about doing it in the place that it was about and around the people who sort of figure into the show was that it was like my friend Zephyr helped me set up the sound equipment. My friend Jillian like ran the tickets at the door. My friend Owen took the photo. You know, like all of these people were showing up and helping me. And I think I would be wise to remember that community that sort of pushed me into the next phase and recognize that they are still there. They're rooting. And also there's other people. And that's not to, I get worried, Matt, when we talk about solo shows, because I feel so self-indulgent. And I'm like talking about all of these people who like were rallying around me as if I'm some figure that deserves that, which is probably not true. But I mean,
this is the semester and a half of therapy school that I went to. But I'm going to reflect back to you.
Use it, babe.
I'm going to use it.
Use it.
I paid $10,000 for it. I'm going to use it.
Okay. It better be good.
What I'm hearing is that even though it's a solo show, you are not alone.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you said that. It's so gorgeous.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Aren't I? I'm incredible.
And I mean, also, really that is, that is what the show is about. Oh, my God.
It's so.
Put it on a motivational poster, baby.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God.
No, but sincerely, I think, and it's so important, too, no matter, like, you do have people, too, and people that have helped you get to where the show is, and you are not alone. You have wonderful collaborators who will give you notes on spoons. Who will have you on their podcast to help promote it? Who
do you think John Marco Cerisi is going to let me on his podcast?
Oh my God! Another dream guest. Another dream guest, John Marco. He followed me on Twitter for 2 weeks. That was a
and
glorious
then he stopped?
Time. And he stopped. I know.
I'll talk to him.
Do you know him?
He's on the golf team.
Oh, he is. Oh, love John Marco. Catherine Duffy, tell the people where they can follow you.
I am at the Catherine Duffy. That's me on Instagram. And then on TikTok, who knows what I'm doing over there. But I'm Catherine from the comments. I like to, I come alive, just like I come alive on a podcast, I come alive in the comments.
I love that though, because you've commented on a few posts.
Well, I said girlfriend reveal is going to go insane.
That's real. Maybe I should do that. Maybe I should have a
big
reveal.
I think you should do, well, it's a fiance reveal. And that
I
your
gotta
team,
stop saying girlfriend.
You
oh
do,
my God.
You do, because you need to be French now. But you're, that's what happens when you're engaged. So you have to turn French.
I'm engaged.
But no, I think your team has been begging you to do that, and
yeah.
I know why you've been saying that you don't want to, but you have to.
I
Taylor's
have
the
to.
Best.
Taylor's the best, but we're not here to plug her, because fuck
right.
her, because she's not listening to the
oh
podcast.
Oh no! Yes, yeah. But everyone, please follow.
Follow Catherine Duffy.
Follow, subscribe.
Instagram, TikTok.
Yeah.
Live at Trixie's has Catherine Duffy. Live at Trixie's has its own Instagram account.
It's true. It's at Live at Trixie's.
A loyal 101 followers count.
Kind of beautiful though.
Absolutely.
It feels very simple over there.
Yeah. It's where the real fans are.
Absolutely.
When are you running the show again?
I'm running it at the end of March.
Beautiful.
It's sold out.
Love that. Love that.
Me talking about it, I'm like, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, well, can't come. But there'll be future dates
but
soon.
But that's why you need to follow her on social media. And if you're watching clips or anything like that, all of our clips, we tag their Instagram and TikTok profiles. Make sure you go follow them.
He's doing the Lord's work.
I am.
Podcasting is so important. And I know that now because it's my job.
Listen, and it's more important that more straight white men get out there and have their voices heard.
Yeah, I love that.
Catherine, this was a delight.
It was truly a treat, Matt.
You're
one in a million, babe.
Oh, stop.
Oh, stop.
Oh, stop. Stop. I'm blushing. Stop. Watch on YouTube.
Do you end the podcast with a song?
I end it on a tag.
Oh, God.
The tag?
Yeah, I can't wait.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You ready? It's
now.
Ready? Here we go. Here's to hoping we left you a little higher. Catherine Duffy, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a blast.
We did it.